in our guest for the hour, Champ Thornton. Champ, how are you, sir?
Good, Chris. So glad to be on the podcast in the show with you today.
Oh, thanks for taking a few minutes with us. Like, anyways, we get the as we kind of get everything off the ground here. You are an author and associate pastor of Ogletown Baptist Church in York, Delaware, and you're host of In the Word on the Go, a podcast for families. And you're the author of several books. And I was actually, I was reading when I read your name off. I was like, oh, man, my name is Chris. Your name is Champ. I want to swap names with you for a while. I've never met a Champ by name, but Chris's are everywhere. So I envy you.
No, it's true. No, I'll trade you because everybody remembers my name and they're just going to, they just assume that I'm going to remember theirs. But with Chris, you know, you can just like be anonymous.
Well, the problem is when you go shopping and someone kind of mentions your name, they're not talking to you because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You kind of pop your head around. Yeah, that happens, which I'll bet that never happens with a name Champ. So.
No, unless someone's walking their dog.
That's right. That is right. Hey, there is a book that you wrote because you've written several books. We're going to talk about Wonders of His Love, Finding Jesus in Isaiah here in a second. But there was a book that you wrote that stood out to me, and I'm going to ask this as kind of our jumping off question, all right? Why? The title is, Why Do We Say Goodnight? Why do we say that? I've just always accepted it. Is there a reason for that? I never thought about it.
No, it's a great question, and I'm glad you asked. And you know, the setting of this book, and it's for parents to read to little children, and it actually comes out of my own family. Our daughter would be scared at night years ago. She's older now. And so we'd go in, and I'd talk to her. And, you know, you start to think, why do we say that night is good when, I mean, from the perspective of a little child, they might be thinking, first of all, it's dark. Number two, I can't see a thing. And number three, you leave me alone. You know, I'm here all by myself. And so why do we say night is good? And so the message of the book, and it's written in a simple little rhyme, is that God made day and he made night, you know, and both of those are good and right. And then not only that, but you might be able to see, but God can see in the darkness just as clearly as if in the light. And then I may leave, mom and dad, one of us might leave the room, but the good shepherd never leaves your side. And so that's the message of why night is good. And so in some ways, it's kind of a theology of night, but it's pitched where even, you know, a two-year-old, a three-year-old, a four-year-old, they can understand these simple truths that are not little. They're huge truths about who our God is, and that's why we can say good night.
That's cool. All right. So it kind of puts an impression into their head that it's a good night. It's nothing to be feared.
That's exactly right.
Ah, got it. Gotcha. Well said. All right. So your new book, Wonders of His Love, Finding Jesus in Isaiah, it's a Advent devotional. Is that unique to write an Advent devotional from the book of Isaiah?
You know, I don't know of many that are coming from Isaiah. It kind of fits, you know, Advent means arrival, and Isaiah's writing hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, and so he's anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. And so it kind of makes sense that, you know, we're waiting for Christmas, when kids are waiting for presents, the arrival of presents. Isaiah was awaiting with God's people the arrival of the Messiah. So it kind of made sense to me. But I hope it allows families to not just think about, oh, Jesus, the baby in the manger, but, you know, here is Jesus through the lens of this Old Testament prophet, Isaiah.
Gotcha. And it's kind of broken down in pictures, I think, too, where it's like week one, there's a picture. Week two, there's a different picture. There's four word pictures from Isaiah that become the weekly themes.
Yeah, I was reading through Isaiah a number of years ago, and I was just struck how often Isaiah doesn't just use words, but he uses words to paint pictures, metaphors, imagery, and it's just striking. And he uses images like thrones and axes and storms and a sea monster and swimmers and fruit and roads. It's just amazing. And then a number of these images cluster around the person of the Messiah who would come. And so week one, the book is called, as you mentioned, Wonders of His Love. That's, of course, from the Christmas carol, Joy to the World. And so the week one covers the first wonder. And that wonder is that Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. Isaiah 9 says that the people who sat in darkness, they've seen a great light. And we know from the rest of that chapter that's talking about the Messiah. So, and then Jesus comes along and he says, I'm the light of the world. So the first wonder is Jesus is the light of the world, and he makes us see. We see in his light. Week two, the second wonder, is Jesus is the fruitful branch. And in Isaiah talks about how God's people had failed, and they were like a tree that had been cut down. But instead of the tree just rotting away, out of that stump grew a little shoot, a plant, and that plant is the Messiah. It doesn't look huge. It's not a big king coming in with a big parade, but it's just a little shoot, and Jesus came as just a little baby. And when he grew up, in John 15, he says that I am the true vine, and we get our life from him. So the second wonder is Jesus is the fruitful branch, and he gives us life. And so there's a similar word picture and image each week, another wonder for families to explore together.
You know what? I think I'm picking up something through your book, and because you're talking about Jesus being the branch, and it reminds me a little bit of our Christmas tree. Do these pictures sort of, are they a root to where we sort of have a lot of our celebration now? Did I ask that right? It might have been a little wonky, but...
No, I don't know exactly all the origins of different traditions and all that, but I think there's an analogy for sure. So, I mean, we put lights on the Christmas tree, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's definitely light associated with Christmas. You know, a lot of people put up trees at Christmas. And, you know, one thing I bring out in the book is, like, you know, if you've got a live tree, it's really not live, right? I mean, you got to keep water in the bottom of it. And if you don't keep it nourished, it's going to get dry and wither because it's not connected to the root. And just the way it is with Christians, is if we're not connected to Jesus, we're going to dry up as well. He is the source of our life. So I'm not sure about the origins, but I do think there's plenty of analogies here that's going to drive home the truth of the Bible to families in this Christmas season.
Yeah, it seems like it. And then especially, as I'm curious too. It's a it's hard to pin your child down because they're so energetic and hyper. If you're spending time with your kid going through this book, is this something that's like in bite-sized pieces? So can I take it down in bite-sized pieces?
Yeah, that's one thing I really wanted to do in this book is make something that's going to be really practical for families, even with young kids. I mean, I say that because our families had an interesting situation years ago when we were much younger. We picked up an Advent book, and it was like, you know, page after page after page, and you had to do it every day of Advent and not get behind. And if you think about it, Advent, which is basically the month of December, it's one of the busiest months of the year, especially for Christians, because you got programs probably at school, there are programs at church, of course there's practices and rehearsals for all those programs, plus there's getting ready to meet with friends, getting food ready, getting gifts ready, wrapping, shopping, travel preparations, you know, it's just bananas. So I wanted this book to be something that's really usable. So instead of being 7 days a week, it's only five. And each of those readings stand alone. If you only get to one reading a week, that's just fine. Each reading is pretty short. Like last night, I read two of them to our family, actually. You can do it in less than probably 2 minutes, one reading. And then there's also extras like activities and crafts and games, some fun little extra stories and bonus features. But I think of the book kind of like a bowl of marbles. You know, a family can just kind of reach in, pick out a few that they need, and leave the rest if they want. But if they're, you know, snowed in or bored out of minds, I mean, there's lots of other stuff they could do if they wanted.
That is cool. Dude, you know what? This is why you're an author, because you basically, it's fun because you basically, you communicate in word pictures. You know, because when you're talking about the bowl of marbles and leaving the others, taking one, leaving the others there, it's everything is visual, which is awesome, because even without reading the book, we understand what you're saying, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we think and communicate, right? It's like, God, that's how God talks to us, and it really resonates, and so that's how I think like that, so I guess I'm just a kid at heart.
That's cool. Champ speaks in parables. In a way.
No one understands.
Oh, goodness. So it feels like this is probably something that you and your family have done for a while yet, too, right? I mean, are these exercises that you've been in your own home, been exercising for a while, and then just decided, you know, we should make a book out of this?
You know, this book actually did kind of come out of my family, so... A handful of years ago when my daughter was a little younger, I went on a trip, and you know how it is as a dad, when you come back from a trip, you better bring, you know, something for the kids. So
that's right.
I brought her a little book for children on the Psalms. It was like a devotional, and it was co-authored by really one of the most premier Psalms or Old Testament scholars in the world. His name is Alec Motir. And so she loved that book. And Motir also has a book for adults on Isaiah. And I thought, oh, I wonder if there'd be something interesting on Isaiah that I could write for kids, which got me reading in Isaiah with this Old Testament scholar, Alec Motir, as a resource. And that's when the pictures and images out of Isaiah just started jumping off the page and coming to life in my mind. And it made me think about doing a book like this in preparation for Christmas, an Advent book. But you know, some of the activities that are mentioned in the book, some of those we've done, of course, you know, there's sugar cookies. And so it's kind of themed according to the week, right? So it's not just sugar cookies. It's sugar cookies in the shape of stars, right? So when Jesus is the light of the world, we're making cookies shaped like stars. I mean, there's another one, too, where an activity that we've done around Christmas in the past is we'll get a party of people together with friends from church, and you take a big roll of plastic wrap, and then ahead of time, you roll it back up into a big ball, but you intersperse little pieces of candy or small dollar store kind of toys until you have this big wad of plastic. And then basically you go make a circle as a family or as a group, and you unwrap the plastic and with wearing a pair of socks to make it hard on your hands. And, you know, there's a time limit, and then you pass the ball to someone else. And so, you know, it's a lot of fun going around the circle trying to get as much candy as you can. But that's in there as well, and it's connected to one of the weeks in the book. So, yeah, these are things, some of these things that we've done as a family around this time of year.
That's cool. So these are actual activities that are found inside of your book.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
All right. Catching up with Champ Thornton. He is the author of the new book, Wonders of His Love, Finding Jesus in Isaiah. And I'm curious yet, too, because there's a, you know, it's fun because you mentioned that you have some bonus section that are included. So is that the socks? He's like, listen, here's a game for you, but we're going to make it really complicated and tricky and hard.
Yeah, no, the bonus sections are, they're, I don't know. I like fun stories, kind of offbeat tales, things you maybe didn't know. You can impress your friends or annoy your family, whatever you want to do. But, you know, so like, how is it that the Star of Bethlehem, I mean, you think about this. It's like, I mean, if you were going to give me directions to your house, Chris, would you say, well, I'm kind of the one that's under the moon? I mean, you know, it's like, well, yeah, but I mean, how's that different than the house beside you? So, I mean, yeah. How could a star lead and then actually lead to like one place? And there's a New Testament scholar that's done a lot of work in astronomy as well. His name is Colin Nickel, and he really made some breakthrough discoveries that it seems that the star was probably a comet. And he has all the data of like why that works. I mean, we even call meteors today shooting stars, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like it says star, but you know, that's inaccurate. It's accurate. I mean, that's what they would call a comet is a star. So it's kind of unpacks in one page some of the details about what was really the Star of Bethlehem, or was Jesus really? Here's another one, another bonus feature: was Jesus really born in a stable? And what does the Bible say? Or did you know that? What is the connection between Saint Nicholas and the first Christmas punch? And so there's a story there, a true story supposedly about St. Nicholas. So things like that that I hope are fun and interesting for those who want to read.
Intriguing. You know, it's kind of cool because in a way you kind of remind me of like a Christian Jerry Seinfeld. It's just asking questions. And that is cool. I like that. That's original because a lot of times you just sort of like you think in an offbeat kind of way. That's fun, Champ.
Yeah, I think my family might get annoyed at it sometimes, but maybe it has its uses.
They're doing their job. That's what families do.
Exactly.
Hey, so by the way, you know, it's funny because I think the older that we get, because I think that we can also sort of relate to this because people talk about the commercialism of Christmas. And they talk about commercialism. It's been that way for decades. It's been that way for a long time. It's a busy time of year. You mentioned earlier in this interview, you talked about plays and performances and shopping and kids, and the kids are angsty. They can't wait to open their presents, and parents, we can't wait to buy them. Then you got to wrap it. If you buy a bicycle, you got to build it for Tom. All kinds of stuff. All kinds of just everything everywhere. Focus on the reason. And how do we focus and celebrate the real reason for the season? You know what I mean? Without getting caught up in everything.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think actually it begins before the season. Kind of put on the Jesus sweater at Christmas, but it's not part of who they are all year long. Then, I mean, kids are going to, if your main concern is not gifts overwhelm Christmas, but that's not something that's a concern all year long, then I would say, why don't you start in January or February? You know, it's okay to start at Christmas, but this should be a year-long thing of how are we presenting the most important person in the universe, our Creator, our Savior, the one who gives us life and breath every day, the one who sustains us, the one who will sustain our faith to the end. He is our priority. And if our lives, as well as our words, aren't communicating that Jesus is a priority in our lives, then, you know, our flurried and frantic efforts at Christmas may not make that much of a difference. But, you know, it's up to the Lord. So I would say wherever we are, we just need to confess our inadequacy to the Lord as parents and say, we have let our priorities get out of whack. This is a great season to ask the Lord to make those adjustments in our lives. So I think what kids pick up on most is what is most important to us. And that's a sobering thought. But the cool thing is that to be a priority in our lives is the good news about Jesus, that Jesus came to deal with sin and our weaknesses, so that if, as parents, have sinned or we've been weak or less than we needed to be, then confessing and repenting and saying, hey, Dad was wrong, that also is a way of showing and showing the goodness of the gospel. So, you know, we're never really in a bind as parents. When we succeed of having good priorities, then they get to see Jesus. And when we have less than ideal performance and sin and come short, then we also get to showcase Jesus. So for parents, it's just such a great thing. Well, we have a great Savior.
Yeah, yeah. And it probably, I'm sure a lot of this you practice with your own life because you're married, you have three kids. Are they all pretty much living at home? Or are they adults moved out?
Yep, they're all between the ages of 11 and 16, so we're right in the middle of it.
Ah, got it. Okay, all right. So a lot of this, you're speaking of experience then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd like to say that as a dad, I've got my act together all the time, but I don't. You know, we try to do, you know, the right things and put the right priorities and, you know, have course corrections when we need to as a family, both for parents and kids. But, you know, we don't. We don't have our act together. And so, you know, there are plenty of times when I sit down and say, you know, hey, Dad blew it here. And I hope that God is pleased to use that in the lives of my kids as well.
That's where honesty comes in, just being honest on stuff. Champ Thornton is the author of a book that recently just came out a couple months ago, actually. It's called Wonders of His Love, Finding Jesus in Isaiah. Starting to wrap up here in a minute, but I have to find out first, Champ. I've got a new phrase with you. Because you worked in a certain city where champs are from. The question is, you served as director of SOMA, a ministry training school in Columbus, Ohio. As we wrap up, OSU or Michigan, baby, which way is it?
I'm definitely going OSU. I lived in Columbus long enough to know that I can't cheer for Michigan, but my brother-in-law is from Detroit, and so, I mean, he's like 6'10". So
oh
if
goodness.
I cheer for OSU too loudly around him, I'm going to get bent into a pretzel. So.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. And you also host a podcast, In the Word, On the Go. It's a 10-minute podcast. Where do we find you online?
Yeah, you can go to my website, champthornton.com, or my podcast is at wordonthego.net. And it's a 10-minute podcast. We look at one verse for 10 minutes, and families are busy. So this is a devotional and conversation starter for families while they run errands.
Yeah. Excited about your book yet, too, which is fun because it says here that you enjoy drinking coffee, listening to music, and doing genealogical research. So I can imagine catching up with you at a Barnes & Noble and listening to your podcast, looking over and say, oh, there's Champ sitting over there. table next to me while I'm reading your book. In Columbus, baby.
Yes. And even the designer of the book, Wonders of His Love, currently lives in Columbus.
Oh, Jeremy?
Yeah.
I love what it says here, yeah, too, because it mentioned that Jeremy, so he was he grew up on Calvin and Hobbes and The Muppet Show. And the great thing about it, of course, he's from Columbus, yeah, too. It says he and his wife, Becky, they have two creative kids and a miniature poodle. I love the description and the miniature poodle. It's
out of
your dog. Oh, goodness. Hey, so where do we find your book?
Yeah, you can find it wherever books are sold, really. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the New Growth Press website, newgrowthpress.com, Westminster Bookstore, WTS Books, wherever. Just go online, Google Wonders of His Love or my name, and the books will pop up.
There you go. There you go. Champ, it was great catching up with you today. Thank you so much. I'm excited to catch up on your book. And go Bubba Eyes next time. Really next season, because we can't do it this year. The big game is pretty much over. But next year, you know, and I'll be sure we whisper it quietly so that your Detroit... Detroit dude does like 6'10", doesn't pounce you into the ground.
I know, right? Chris, it's been great being with you today. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you so much. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And have a safe week ahead.
Same to you. Thanks, man.
Talk to you soon. See you, man. All right, so that was Champ Thornton. Again, you can always, if any question comes up, you want to find out more about him, feel free to send us a text, 419-240-1937. The name of the book, it's been out for a couple of Wonders of His Love, Finding Jesus in Isaiah. It's a family Advent devotional. So any questions, let us know. Again, 419-240-1-YES.